freedom from sin, guilt, and death every day here. Freedom from sin, guilt, death, and condemnation. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here, studying the Revelation series, but never forgetting that we are under a different evangel. It is the evangel of the grace of God. I had to have candy today. Don't know why. It entered into my head out of the blue, it seemed, to go for sweet tarts. Now, I used to love these things when I was a kid. They had them in the silver foil pack, nice hard candies. They had things written on them, two things. It either said, bite them or suck them. Some sweet tarts said bite them, some said suck them. If it said bite them, you bit them. If it said suck them, you sucked them. That's what you did with the sweet tarts. So I'm thinking, my gosh, sweet tarts, I gotta have them. So I went to the store, and I'm telling you, I don't know what's happening with the world, but I see an indication of it at the drugstore. Is that sweet tarts now, you cannot buy hard candy, bite them, suck them sweet tarts anymore. You can't. They're all chewy. They have these, they have five different kinds of sweet tarts. And I'm thinking, oh good, I have a choice. Well, your choice is big chewy, little chewy, rope chewy, shaped like a worm chewy. Everything's chewy. And I think it's indicative of this age. I think we're a weak society. And I think it's culture rot. Everybody has to have it soft and chewy. We don't want to bite it or suck it. We want to chew it. And we're a bunch. We've become weak. We've become lame. We can't even bite our candy anymore. It has to be soft and chewy so that a baby can eat it. And I was very disconcerted. Nevertheless, I got my sugar high, and I feel no condemnation whatsoever. I did feel it sneaking up on me. Don't think I don't. I know I'm Martin Zender, and I'm past all this, right? No, it still sneaks up on me that I'm ruining my day. I'm giving myself a crazy buzz that I don't need, making myself fat. And yet I resisted all of that. I resisted it because the freedom from sin comes in the freedom from the guilt and condemnation. I follow my own advice, as you know. And so I just said, the heck with that. Even though they were chewy, they were good. That's what I said. And so take a lesson from that. It can hammer me all day long. The voices of guilt and condemnation can hammer me for whatever reasons all day long. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not always interested in talking to God about improving myself as a human being, wondering if there are places in my life where I fail. I don't obsess over it, but I do think about it. And I'm convinced that you can move forward in your fruit of the Spirit without guilt and condemnation. In fact, all that does is cripple you and keeps your terrible cycles going, because I got this sweetheart thing out of my system, and it's not bothering me anymore that I did that. Will I do it again tomorrow? No, I don't know. I don't think so. But I think I would if I obsessed over it. Let that be a lesson to you today. That was apparently one of the reasons why I had to have the sweet tarts. Now, here's a mysterious phrase in chapter 11 concerning the two witnesses. Their corpses, remember, they're going to be slain, and their corpses will be at the square of the great city. What great city? Which spiritually is being called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord also was crucified. Where was our Lord crucified? This is nothing else, can be nothing else but the city of Jerusalem. But many people are confused here when it's called Sodom and it's called Egypt. I will tell you why that is. Because Jerusalem in the end times, watch for this, is going to become a metropolis, much bigger metropolis than it is now. Oh, by the way, I wanted to bring this up at the beginning of the show. I didn't do that. How about ISIS? How about the Paris thing? It's going to ramp up. I'm telling you, watch Islam. Watch the militants. Watch this sweeping, leopardess-like offensive against the West. I tell you, they are planning things. This is not a Western-based conspiracy in order to make Islam do this. This is in their DNA, and it's in the Quran. It just so happens. So, it's on. The game is on. But as you know, it's no game. But as you know, It's prophesied in the scripture. If you haven't heard this show within the last month, go back to my teaching on the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, and you will find out why we are in a religious war today. And still, our administration, well, they're finally waking up, I think. And that's necessary, but it's still going to take more attacks. It's going to be horrific. I pray. People ask me to pray for them all the time. And you know what? Somebody just asked me to pray for them today. And you know what I do? I pray for them. I make my requests known to God. I don't like to see fellow believers hurt. I don't like to see anyone in the world hurt. I don't like to see terrorist events, obviously. So on a relative sphere, I do pray that God would protect people, keep people safe, especially my loved ones, of course. But God knows what he's doing, and we have to trust God. Jerusalem is going to become a great city. It is going to become an important metropolis. You might say, well, it's important now. It's strategic in that it is an historic city, but it's not strategic in the cultural sense or in the sense of being a commercial capital or a technology capital. It's not exactly Cyber City out there, right? It's not exactly Las Vegas, but I think it will be. The two big cities of the end time are Jerusalem and Babylon. I think Babylon will be more like Las Vegas. But Jerusalem is going to be filled with iniquity, sin, and human wisdom. I know this by the associations here in chapter 11 of the unveiling with Sodom and Egypt. Let's read it again. Their corpses will be at the square of the great city, which spiritually is being called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom is known for the pleasure of the flesh. Egypt is known for wisdom. The wisdom of the world will find full sway in Jerusalem in the end times, and so will the pleasure of Sodom, whatever that pleasure was. Everybody assumes it was sexual sin in Sodom. I don't really assume that. But it's going to be pleasure-based. We know the pleasure was the basis of the temple in Jerusalem being overtaken by the merchants. But merchandise, the buying and selling of things, is its own pleasure. Are we going to imagine that there is no pleasure at the mall simply because there are no sex shops at the mall or establishments of prostitution? Of course not. Buying and selling is its own pleasure. Cars. People go into a car dealership and they smell that rich Corinthian leather of a new interior of a new car. And there's trading going on. And this is what infuriated our Lord. And what does he do? He doesn't go to the brothels. He goes to and overturned the cots there, whatever the heck they used. He goes to the temple and overturns the tables of the money changers. And we know that Israel is famous for being able to change money, turn money into merch into money, and make a living and use it to bring other nations into slavery. And that's what's going to be happening in Jerusalem and even to a greater extent in Babylon. It's both going to be run by Jewish contingents. The religious contingent, I believe the false religious contingent, will be in Jerusalem. That will be the spiritual center, and Babylon will be the financial center. It's not going to be cut and dried. Going to be a little bit of this here, a little bit of the same thing over there. But the wisdom of the world is going to find sway. Now, Egypt was a seat of learning, so there's going to be great center of education. Whether the priests now are going to be re-educated, we hear very much about the priesthood coming back, the Israel things of the temple. There's a resurgence in this, and there might be a great educational system happening in the end times in Jerusalem that's not presently happening, and it's not going to take long. The Jews, I hate to say this, is going to come across wrong. There's no way I can say this and have it not sound like anti-Semitism, but The Jews have been the chief promoters of pleasure and vice among the nations. And we're going to see this especially when we talk about the intoxicant of Babylon. Jews own the entertainment industry. It's just a fact. I'll go over this. I'll go over it later. I should do it now so I don't get in trouble, but I'm not real concerned about getting in trouble. But whether it's movies, whether it's music, print, video games, whatever captures the attention of this generation that is being dumbed down by the minute, there's a lot of money being made. And behind that money being made are Jews. I hate to say it, but it's true. And I can even quote famous Jews to explain this to you in greater detail. I'm not against them. Do I use... Yeah, I'll go online and download a song. I'll get a movie. I'm not against pleasure. I'm the sweet tart guy, man. I'm the chewy sweet tart man. I'm not against it. But this contingent figured out a long time ago how to stay sober and get the rest of the world drunk. Right? Stay sober themselves and get the rest of the world drunk. This is no coincidence. And it, again, has much to do with the intoxicant of Babylon. Chief promoters of pleasure and vice among the nations. We're suckers for it, the goyim, yes. We will buy whatever you have to sell, whether it be chewy sweet tarts, action thrillers, or rap music, or the latest incarnation of Wii, or Mario Brothers, whatever the heck people are playing now. I don't have time to play video games. I only have time to go buy sweet tarts. So the city where their Lord also was crucified, none other than Jerusalem. Now it's important to see this, that God's witnesses are killed in the capital of the coming kingdom. This is going to be the capital. Jerusalem is the center, the geographic center, how cool is that, of the world. And this act is coupled with a reference here in the unveiling to the city where our Lord also was crucified. This is the city in which the two witnesses will lie dead for 3.5 days. Kind of see a parallel there with Jesus Christ, don't we? And it's a big city. How is that? All the big, you can't trust the big cities. Yes, I like the excitement of the big cities. I'm hoping that in some city bigger than this one, they still make hard sweet tarts. Bite 'em, suck 'em, sweet tarts. I'm hoping so. So I like the excitement and the things that are available in big cities. But for some reason, the big cities are, they attract, they're the repository of some nefarious occupations and businesses and deals, shady behind the scenes, bootlegging type of operations. You can't trust them. That's why Jesus was raised in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. It was a little baby city, city of David, Bethlehem, the least in Judea. And Nazareth, don't talk to me about that. It was an embarrassment. It was the most embarrassing city in Galilee. Galilee's a district? Yeah. So there you have it. Where you expect to find the epicenter of wisdom and learning in our day would be New York City and Los Angeles and Chicago, all these great cities. I'll tell you where it's happening. It's happening in Winbur, Pennsylvania. And for 25 years, I lived in Greenwich, Ohio. Try to find these places on your Rand McNally Road Atlas. Good luck. Yeah, I dare you to find it within 5 minutes. You're not going to find it. You need a magnifying glass. So, yeah, Greenwich. Yeah, I tried to call it Greenwich, but it's not. It's Greenwich. How small is it? It's so small we had a power outage one night because someone tripped over the extension cord. That's how small it is. So the places of refuge, not ironically, are in Israel in these days of indignation are going to be small little enclaves or conclaves, some kind of claves of faithful Jews. And the big cities the Jerusalems and the Babylons. They're going to be the bad, bad places where you don't want to go. Jerusalem reminds me a lot of Sodom and Egypt. Stay away from it in the end days. You don't have to worry. You're not even going to be here. You're going to a happy place, which is the right hand of God with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.